It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Joe. I know he's talking to us, but he has to hit a button.
Happy Friday, Kim.
And it's good to have you behind the boards. I know there was a little traffic out there, so great to have you. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. That comes out on Sundays. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. Text line is 720-605-0647. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You should not have to force people to do it. Show comes to you 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. At first hour is rebroadcast 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Second hour 10 to 11 at night. And you can catch us on all of the KLZ 560 platforms. That's KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, the KLZ website, the KLZ app. Apparently, if you say play KLZ, Alexa comes in loud and clear. And then and once our podcasts are posted, you can find those on the streaming services such as Spotify and iTunes as well. And pleased to have in studio with me Alan Thomas. And Alan Thomas is an author here at the Kim Munson Show. He's also the newly elected first vice chair for the Douglas County GOP. So it's great to have you here.
It's always great being here, Kim. Thanks.
So a lot's going to be happening with the GOP this weekend. So set this up for us. Are you going to be down in Colorado Springs? And what's happening?
Yeah, so we have the state GOP organizational meeting. So this is where we'll elect the chairman or chairwoman for the Colorado GOP and the secretary and the vice chair. So a lot going on. There's also a lot of multi-district meetings today, tomorrow, such as like a judicial district. So one that kind of spans several counties. They'll have their organizational meetings where they'll elect all their officers as well. So if you can't tell from my voice, I kind of came down with something.
I know. So it's like, are you changing your voice, Alan Thomas?
Yeah. The last thing I want to do is get all the great Republicans in Colorado sick. So they offer a Zoom option. So that might be what I'll be taking.
That may
just
be a
to
great
avoid
idea. Yeah.
Spreading. I mean, it's not that bad. It's more I lost my voice yesterday and just a little sniffle. But it's never fun spreading that around, right?
Yeah. And there really is something going around. Big yeah. time. So it's that season. But it's great to have you here.
Always great being here.
And your piece that we're going to be talking about is, you've titled it, The Wonderful Political Malfeasance of the Left. And it is super interesting what is happening in our country right now. So we'll get into that here in just a moment. But as you all know, we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's not compassionate or altruistic to take other people's rights, their property, freedom, livelihoods, opportunities, their childhoods, or their lives via force. And force obviously can be a weapon, but it can be policy and unpredictable and excessive taxation and fear, coercion, government-induced inflation. This agenda by the World Economic Forum, globalist elites agenda, United Nations, this Colorado State Legislature, what they're doing is unbelievable down at the State House with the behest of the governor. But they use land use codes, zoning regulations, force fees, conservation easements, national monument designations. That list goes on and on. And Alan Thomas, it's not okay.
It's not. And, you know, we finally get a little bit of the break with the legislature to debate budget now. I think the long bill's finally getting proposed. So that's gonna be interesting how they've tried to cut out of our budget. And, you know, as we well know, of course, the Democrats have been pushing this off for years and years. And we have a structural deficit now in Colorado. And from all that I've heard, they haven't addressed that structural deficit through this next long bill, this budgetary bill.
And they've been trying to address this different ways by taking more and more of our Tabor refunds, because what they've done is they've over-collected taxes from us under Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. They're supposed to give it back to us unless we vote and say it's okay. But as I'm watching, as president of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, they are going through, I think gyrations will have to be one of our great words maybe next week of the day, but going through all kinds of gyrations, sometimes with the help of Republicans, which is very frustrating, to keep more of the excess revenue. Somebody said, don't say revenue, excess taxes that they have taken from us, Alan.
Absolutely. And you know, it's kind of interesting, too. You know, we saw the Democrats try and say that Republicans were trying to cut Medicaid here in Colorado. And actually, judge said, no, absolutely not. You can't say things like that, and had to take those billboards down. So we still see the political games of the fact that Republicans haven't had a majority since this has been an issue. Well before 2020, Republicans have not had a position of power at the state level. And so for Democrats to even attempt to blame this on Republicans is, you hope that the voter in Colorado can know and understand that, because this is something that has to be owned by the Colorado Democrats 100%.
Well, and we have to shed light on that. Elections, you're alluding to elections. Elections are super important, and there's new developments regarding elections, regarding our Colorado 2024 election project, the executive order by President Trump. And I hope that we can get into that a little bit later at some point here in the show. Kane is going to join us as well. You're our featured guest in hour one. Kane is our featured guest in hour number two. And let's just go ahead and let's get into this, the things that we like to do. First thing is our word of the day. I decided to use the word malfeasance because that was in your title. And it's spelled M-A-L-F-E-A-S-A-N-C-E. And it is a noun. It could be misconduct or wrongdoing, especially by a public official. Or number two, the doing of an act which a person ought not to do, evil conduct, or an illegal deed. And with all of the assault upon our Second Amendment rights down at the State House, I think it's downright malfeasance, Alan Thomas.
It absolutely is. And, you know, the title that I kind of chose was the way the left has been politically outmaneuvered by Trump since the very beginning of his presidency. It really should be called malfeasance for what Chuck Schumer and all the leaders in the Democrat Party have done. Trump has outflanked them at every turn, and it's a wonderful thing for us to watch that type of malfeasance.
Yeah, and to see it being addressed, we'll just put it that way. So next thing, bill of the day, and thank you, Ben, for Senate Bill 25-183. This is coverage for pregnancy-related services. And this is the complement, if you will. I don't think complement's the right word. To Prop, 79, I think it was, that was passed by the people of Colorado, that basically says that we, as an amendment to the Constitution here in Colorado, that abortion can be done right up until the time the baby is born, and we're going to have insurance pay for it. Medicaid's going to pay for it. So you just mentioned they're saying we want to cut Medicaid. But here in Colorado, they want to take tax dollars to use that to abort babies here in Colorado. One way to make sure that that you're not undercutting Medicaid, if you will, would be to not expand these services to do this. And so anyway, this and I need to give you the information. Everybody has the sniffles over here today, so It's one of those things that's going around. But this bill is Senate Bill 25183. And I want to get the sponsors for you on this as well. Hang with me. I thought I had that right at my fingertips, and I didn't.
And you know, Kim, this is an interesting point. When you have a right for something that somebody else has to provide a service for, this is why we talk about rights the way that we do, is at what point are you going to force somebody to do something they don't want to do if they have a right for it? And we always talk about healthcare as kind of the positive example of this, of, you know, if you have a right to an abortion, does that mean it has to be provided to you by taxpayers? And,
yeah,
you know, I can't remember if it was like Jim Jordan or Thomas Massie or maybe even Ted Cruz. One of them said, well, hey, if you have this right and the taxpayers have to pay for it, well, then where's my right to a gun then? Do the taxpayers get to pay for my guns and my right to the Second Amendment? So it's one of those very interesting questions that when you start to say we have a right and it needs to be in the Constitution, when you're not an astute political thinker and you just start adding willy-nilly to the Constitution, you're going to get bills like this.
Well, and this is Senate Bill 25183. The prime sponsors are all Democrats on this. Senator Robert Rodriguez, Senator Lindsay Doherty, Representative Lorena Garcia, and Representative Julie McCluskey. And so that's where we are. And that's Senate Bill 25183. And we really need to be engaging in this cultural battle for life. We have actually abdicated, I think, a lot. We didn't even realize it regarding this case for life. And what's the opposite of life? It's death. What's the opposite of creation? It's destruction. That's the bottom line of what we're seeing here. So that's Senate Bill 25183. Ben, thank you for bringing that to our attention. And again, and let's just mention this one more time. So there's this movement out there that there's this quote-unquote right to abortion, but that does not mean that you, if you choose to have an abortion, that you have a right to have taxpayers, to have money taken via force from taxpayers to pay for that. And I think it's really important to understand. One other thing, you compare this to our Second Amendment rights. The Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights, was put in for a specific reason. This is not part of the Bill of Rights regarding this abortion up until the time of birth in Colorado. A lot of people don't realize that that's the case here, but it is. So, Alan, next thing I wanted to get to our quote of the day, and it just happened that Medal of Honor Day was on Tuesday, and Drew Dix, who is a co-founder of the Center for American Values, which is located in Pueblo, it is a very special place. You got to get that on your bucket list to get down there. And they have portraits of valor of many of our Medal of Honor recipients and quotes by each of them. And I am sharing a Medal of Honor quote each Friday. So I'd reached out to Drew and said, hey, Medal of Honor Day was Tuesday. How about let's talk about it on Friday? He said, okay. Then I'm going through the Medal of Honor book, which I quote every Friday. And it's him. It's his quote for the day. So let's get through this, Alan, regarding Drew Dix, his citation. He was born in 1944. This is actions he took January 31 through February 1, 1968. This was a 56-hour battle, if you can believe it. So I'll let you do the first half, and I'll do the second half.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, in action and at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Staff Sergeant Dix distinguished himself by exceptional heroism while serving as a unit advisor. Two heavily armed Viet Cong battalions attacked the province capital city of Chau Pha, resulting in the complete breakdown and fragmentation of defenses of the city. Staff Sergeant Dix, with a patrol of Vietnamese soldiers, was recalled to assist in defense of Chau Pha. Learning that a nurse was trapped in a house near the center of the city, Staff Sergeant Dix organized a relief force, successfully rescued the nurse, and returned her to the safety of the Tactical Operations Center. Being informed of other trapped civilians within the city, Staff Sergeant Dix voluntarily led another force to rescue 8 civilian employees located in a building, which was under heavy mortar and small arms fire. Staff Sergeant Dix then returned to the center of the city. Upon approaching a building, he was subjected to intense automatic rifle and machine gun fire from an unknown number of Viet Cong. he personally assaulted the building, killing 6 Viet Cong and rescuing 2 Filipinos.
The following day, Staff Sergeant Dix, still on his own volition, assembled a 20-man force and, though under intense enemy fire, cleared the Viet Cong out of the hotel, theater, and adjacent buildings within the city. During this portion of the attack, the Army of the Republic Vietnam soldiers inspired... Hold on here. I got to figure out where I put the other half of mine here. Here we go. During this portion of the attack, Army of the Republic of Vietnam soldiers, inspired by the heroism and success of Staff Sergeant Dix, rallied and commenced firing upon the Viet Cong. Staff Sergeant Dix captured 20 prisoners, including a high-ranking Viet Cong official. Now, that is a very interesting story that I've heard him tell. He then attacked enemy troops who had entered the residence of the deputy province chief and was successful in rescuing the official's wife and children. Staff Sergeant Dix's personal heroic actions resulted in 14 confirmed Viet Cong killed in action and possibly 25 more, the capture of 20 prisoners, 15 weapons, and the rescue of the 14 United States and free world civilians. The heroism of Staff Sergeant Dix was in the highest tradition and reflects great credit upon the U.S. Army. Cool.
Wow.
It's quite a story. And this is what I love, this quote. And he has this on the bottom of his emails as well. He said, "Nothing is ever as bad as you think it might be." And that's Drew Dix, co-founder of the Center for American Values. Get it on your bucket list to go visit the center. Support them. And you can get more information by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. This all happens because of our sponsors. I know them all personally. And Roger Mangan has been in business for 48 years, serving his customers, providing for his family, and giving back to his communities. And so for help with your insurance needs, call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Car thefts, hailstorms, and uninsured motorists are presenting unique insurance challenges for everyday hardworking Coloradans. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team knows that when you need to make an insurance claim, financial strength matters. State Farm consistently receives high marks for the company's financial condition and ability to pay claims. For that peace of mind, to know that you are working with a financially strong company, contact the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment to assess your insurance coverage. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's finally Friday. It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Drew Dix is on the line with us. He is a co-founder of the Center for American Values. Drew Dix, we were talking about you.
Well, good morning, Kim. It's always good to be on your program.
Well, it's good to have you on as well. And Drew, I've gotten to know you through all of the different things that you do down at the Center for American Values. So let's talk a little bit about the center first, because it is a very special place. And the Portraits of Valor of over 160 Medal of Honor recipients, it's a really reverent place, and people understand that when they walk into the center. It's so important.
Yes, Kim, and it's special to me because I knew every single one of those people when we started photographing them. So since about 1999, so that's a special place. But it's also special that I can show, tell their stories to the youth and their parents about the sacrifices made for the country. Because, you know, if we didn't have people willing to make risks for each other, then what do we have? You know, that's a sure symbol of a country and being united. And the thing that we like to say is that we don't preach war, we don't talk about war, but the examples of those actions that those fellow recipients did on the battlefield at bad times are an indication of people coming together, and that some good comes out of bad things. And that's why I say there's nothing ever as bad as you think it might be.
I love that. I love that quote. And, Drew, I take great heart from these stories and the different people that I've met at the center, because in a way, I think we're in an ideological battle. And what I've learned regarding the Medal of Honor, first of all, you don't win it. It is awarded. You are a recipient of it. So it's not a competition, right?
That's absolutely right. I don't know anybody that could try to, quote, win one and survive. You just don't do it. And in fact, the situations are so unique that it comes so fast, and the situation changes so fast that you don't have time to plan that thing. And what's so remarkable is those that were with you are the ones that think you were worthy enough to receive the medal. That's what makes it so special.
Right, because there has to be witnesses to the action, and you have to be recommended for the medal. And so it is, it's the highest military honor that can be bestowed upon someone here in the military. But I think one of the key things that I've learned regarding the Medal of Honor is it is awarded because when the situation presented itself, these men took action. I think there's one woman that maybe received the Medal of Honor, but it's these men stepped forward and took action when the situation presented itself. And Drew, I take heart from that as we're in this ideological battle. In fact, the two men that are in studio with me right now, Alan Thomas and Kane, are stepping forward in this ideological battle to protect those around them. And so I take heart from those stories of our Medal of Honor recipients and put it into my everyday life.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. The Medal of Honor recipients were in a war, and we fought against a visible enemy. But there's a lot of warriors out there that doesn't carry a gun. In fact, the founders of our nation didn't carry guns, but they were fighters and warriors. And so my hat's off to all those that doing what they can to keep us the ship righted and in the right direction.
Well, and Drew, the Center for American Values is nonpartisan and nonpolitical. And the values that it focuses on is honor, integrity, and patriotism. And I was having a conversation with one of our listeners, and she has family members that lean to the left. And so there can be this rift regarding politics. And she said, politics can divide so many people. And I thought about it for a little bit, Drew, and I responded back. I said, I don't think it's politics. It's values. And I think that what happens is people... We need to come together on values. I think that there are those on the left that also have these values of honor, integrity, and patriotism. And so what you're doing at the center is focusing on that and not on politics. And I think that we can take inspiration from that, Drew.
Well, I think that's a very good point, and that's exactly the approach we take, is that we believe that all people should strive for honor.
and integrity, and then have patriotism for the country that gives them that privilege of living their life the way they choose. And I think the most important thing is that, yes, even those souls that don't quite get it should strive for honor, integrity, and patriotism, and at least instill in the young people that. And if we all understand that, then I think the politics will be less divisive, less combative.
So, Drew Dix, I know you would. You are a true American hero. And whenever I am at these different events with you, I was up in Pinedale, Wyoming, when you had presented to all the kids up there. And it's something to just watch young people as they want to understand your story. It seems that they're hungry for learning these things about our country. And it's just does my heart good to see all these young people that you're interacting with. And I think it gives you and me great hope for our country.
Well, it does. And I think our young people, since they're captive to these devices that we're talking on right now, that when they see us, they really are hungry, as you say. They want to hear it from the real person. And I think that's what we need to strive for, is a little more of that, and encourage young people to ask questions and go to the source, and always think that there's two sides to every what you're hearing. And we tell at the center, and this is something that I always say, is that we don't tell young people what to think. We just tell them how to think and that they can think.
I love that as well. So, Drew Dix, you are starting a podcast, though. Tell us a little bit about the Drew Dix podcast.
Well, we're happy to do that. It's really exciting. We're having fun doing it. The first episode under DrewDixPodcast.com was on Greenland. And what we decided is things that are in the news that are confusing to people or keep you up all night, we're going to talk about it. And I spent 10 spring seasons and working off of Greenland on the sea ice on a government classified government project, tracking Russian submarines, Soviet submarines. So I have a little knowledge about that, and I wanted to share it, and it turned out to be a pretty well-received program. So the listeners can look at DrewDixPodcast.com and see for yourself. And if you like it, let us know.
Well, I'm sure that they will. And your co-founder, Brad Padula, is a media guy. He's a documentary producer. And so the two of you together, just tell us how you decided to start the center, because I think it's a pretty interesting story.
Well, it is. And so Brad, I got to know Brad about 1999 when he filmed Beyond the Metal, because there was four of us living from Pueblo, Colorado, which is the only city that's had four living at the same time. And so Brad got to know us pretty well, and we'd already lost Bill Crawford and Carl Sitter, and Jerry Murphy, the other recipient, was not doing real well, and he was in the medical facility in Pueblo and went to see him. And so obviously he wasn't going to make it very much longer, and we sat down and were having a cold beer and talking it over. It was overwhelming, so we were just settling down a little bit. And we decided, you know, his story and other stories are going to be lost if we don't do something. And Brad's father, who had this building he just purchased, was renovating it. We left from having that beer, went right to him, and of course he was walking around this project supervising dirt work or whatever, and approached him with his idea, and he looked at us and said, "Well, okay, what floor do you want?" And that's where it got started. And on day one, when we opened the doors on the 10th of November, Marine Corps birthday actually, 2010, it's been the same, and it looks pretty much the same. It was very, very special place. We had the portraits that were purchased and donated to the center by Brad's father as well. And so when people come in the doors, they're just overwhelmed by the solemnness and the dignity of the place. And it's really special to see young kids lined up from getting off their buses and grousing around like they do, and you think, oh, they're going to come through the door and mess things up. But no, when they walk through the door, they get quiet. They look around.
Yeah.
That's how it got started, and it's been that way ever since.
Well, I highly would recommend that people check out your website, AmericanValueCenter.org, and also your podcast, and that is Drew Dix, D-I-X, podcast.com, correct?
That's correct. And the next one will be released next Wednesday, and it was an interesting subject, the readiness to fight and win the next wars. Ooh. And that turned into a lively discussion. So I encourage all of you to look at that as well.
Drew Dix, thank you for what you do. Thank you for caring for our country, for our youth, for all that you and Brad do there at the Center for American Values. And your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today.
Well, thanks for thinking of us on Medal of Honor Day. It's a special day. Most of the recipients were in Arlington National Cemetery, laying the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown. And what a lot of people don't realize, there are medals of honor awarded to the unknowns from World War One to Korea and Vietnam, actually. And then so it's special. So we're paying tribute to all those that fought that may have earned the Medal of Honor and just never were able to wear it.
Drew Dix, thank you for all the great work that you're doing, and we will see you soon. The next On Values presentation will be, I think it's April 16th, and Norma Donlan, yep, who is the widow now of Roger Donlan, who wasn't he the first one to receive the Medal of Honor from the Vietnam War?
Yes, Roger was 1964. I knew him well. Was the very first one from Special Forces, actually the first one in Vietnam to receive the Medal of Honor.
Okay, and he just recently passed on, so that'll be a great event. Doesn't cost anything. RSVP by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. Drew Dix, thanks for all that you do.
And have a good day.
Thank you, and we have these discussions because of sponsors, and one of those is Lavaca Meat Company.
Beef can be a key component in our diets to keep us healthy. Beef is high in protein and improves muscle mass. Beef is extremely rich in minerals. Beef is high in vitamins. Lavaca Meat Company provides premium beef that is grass-fed and grain-finished to help you lead a healthier lifestyle. Located at the corner of Main and Nevada in Old Littleton, Lavaca Meat Company prides itself in offering premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
A serious accident or a life-changing injury can leave you with seemingly insurmountable physical, emotional, and financial challenges. How will you be able to afford your medical bills? What if you can't return to work? The attorneys at Bozen Law understand the immense stress you are under and want to help. Bozen Law's attorneys have decades of experience helping people like you navigate some of the most difficult times in their lives. Bozen Law can provide the guidance and support you need to get back on your feet. Call Bozen Law now at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary appointment. That's 303-999-9999. Don't delay.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
I forgot you pulled this, Joe. This is going to crack me up at least for the next few Fridays. That is hysterical. So thank you, Joe. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you to Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of the show. It is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy from oil, natural gas, and coal that powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams and empowers us to change our own personal climate. In studio with me is Alan Thomas. We're going to be talking about your essay that we'll roll out this weekend, The Wonderful Political Malfeasance of the Left. And Kane, the founder of Task Force Freedom Northern Colorado, snuck in here as well.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me again.
And you're a military guy, former
military,
police officer.
Former law enforcement.
Yeah. Drew Dix, I could tell. It was really moving you.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's inspiring to hear the stories of the past, these virtuous men who devoted their lives and sacrificed a lot so that we can have these freedoms. And I'm not sure that we as Americans really understand what's happening to us now, because we may not be at war with the Marxist comms, but they're at war with us. And
yeah.
I think it's an information war right now.
Yeah.
But for the most part, people are still dying. People are being hurt by their policies. And so we need to recognize that and do something to protect our rights and our liberties. And these examples that you provide every day inspires me to just continue to fight and to know there's suffering and sacrifice involved.
There is.
Yeah.
And we're even with all that's out there, we are blessed.
Yes.
We are so blessed. And we have this duty to pass on to the next generation what has been passed on to us.
Yes,
and so with that, Alan Thomas, you've got two little kids. I've got little grandkids. And that's why we're engaging in this battle, because I think about Washington. All the stuff that they put on the line. And I had a conversation just recently, and I've shared this a few times on the air, because this was a mental process for me, is one of my friends had, and there are those on the left that have somewhat celebrated the killing of the United Healthcare executive, indicating there might be some righteousness in it because United Healthcare had denied some insurance claims and people suffered because of that. Or now we see people destroying Teslas, which you are talking about in your article. And so my friend said to me, well, Kim, I said, that's not the way we're supposed to settle things in America. And he said, well, George Washington in the Revolutionary War, they used weapons. And I stepped back for a minute. I said, that's true. But they used them because they wanted to get to liberty, and they wanted to get to a point where we wouldn't settle our differences like that. Hence the American idea and the American Constitution. And that's what makes us so unique. And that's why your article, I think, is really important. This wonderful political malfeasance of the left, although I never underestimate the ability for Republicans to snatch defeat from the jaws of
victory.
Victory,
yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about this, because this is a really important piece that you've written.
And before we do, though, I kind of want to address that point. Is the founding fathers did not take up arms in revolution except as a very, very last resort. That's what the Declaration of Independence actually is. It's a redress to the king saying, here's what we have asked for time and time and time again. We have tried to solve this through political discourse without the need to turn towards killing each other. But you have refused to give us these things that are necessary for governance of our colonies. And so we are going to send you one last time this Declaration of Independence and give you the ability to redress any of these poor behaviors, to govern us the way that we should. So it's a little unfair. It's more than unfair to compare protests and mobs to what Washington did, because the founding fathers knew that as soon as they signed that document, they were signing up to either win independence or they were signing their death certificates.
They were.
And at what point were our founding fathers attacking just general citizens,
right?
Unarmed citizens?
Good point, Kane.
They knew that they were attacking members of the British government.
Yes.
And they knew that it was an act of revolution. And so, to your point, it was something that was done with great gravitas, and it was not something that was just out of the blue. And that's something also, that's a good point for Republicans to remember as well. I know we bandied about the word revolution for a while, and perhaps we need to rise up. And it's like, no, this is something that needs to be taken as a very, very last resort, because it is so strong and heavy. But to your point about snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory, it was kind of funny. This, and this article is a little bit more lighthearted than some because of that. And one of the hilarious things that happened, and the way I introduced the article is, we had that government shutdown that was looming earlier this month, and for all intents and purposes, Republicans were going to be the cause of it. Right? We have the House, we have the Senate, we have the President. Of course, we waited till the 11th hour to start pushing a continuing resolution through. Like, for all the narrative was about how Republicans have waited till the last minute, and if government shuts down, it's Trump's fault, it's Republicans' fault. And then Chuck Schumer did the absolute,
it was shocking,
unthinkable political absurdity of snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. He stood up there and said, well, we're going to make sure and shut down the government. We're going to filibuster. We're going to make sure if the government shuts down, it's the Democrats' fault.
Or the Republicans' fault.
Well, okay. No, but he said that the Democrats were going to shut the government down. He said, we are going to use our filibuster to make sure this continuing resolution doesn't come through. So, you know, even though he's going to blame, they of course tried to blame Republicans, but everybody watching goes, well, you're the one not voting for it. Right. So he took the government shutdown onto the Democrats. And it was absolutely shocking that, again, when your opponent is making a grave mistake, you don't step in and save them. And that's what the Democrats did with this continuing resolution. They absolutely stepped all over themselves and took credit for something that was going to be the Republicans' fault anyway. And it's something that Trump has masterfully done in his first term here. He's brought up these very large ideas, yet his implementation of them has started out in a brilliant way to put the Democrats between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. And it's the first example I brought up was the electrical vehicles, of course. You know, he's brought on Elon Musk as Doge and gone after the federal government with a blunt instrument to absolutely try and break apart these bureaucracies. And the hilarious part, the irony is, there's a Democrat senator who, in protest of Elon Musk, ditched his Tesla for a Chevy Tahoe, a gas-guzzling SUV. And you just sit there and you look back and you're like, well, I thought we were doing this for the environment. And yet you're advocating getting rid of electric vehicles. I mean, for how long has the push been for electric vehicles, for electric vehicle infrastructure all across the country? How long have the Democrats been pushing that? And yet, the number one electric vehicle maker and distributor by far is Tesla. And it's kind of interesting. The top two electric vehicles purchased last year were both Teslas. The Cybertruck came in at number five. The only manufacturer that shows up in the top 10 twice is Ford, at number three and number six, behind Tesla. And so it's hilarious watching the hypocrisy of the left as they tell us that we need to worry about emissions and climate change, and yet they'll go out and now are targeting private citizens in their cars, which presumably, and this is the hilarious part, right? Presumably a lot of owners of Teslas probably fall into a more left-leaning ideology because they've probably bought these electric vehicles because they think that they're doing it to save the environment, to reduce their emissions, to reduce their carbon footprint on the world. And yet now the left is targeting their own, you know, and there's plenty of right thinking Tesla owners, of course, but it is, when you look at these things happening in California, you have to presume that there's many of these Tesla owners are on the left themselves. And it's also ironic that it is now the left that is painting and brandishing swastikas, not the right.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's something that we're truly beginning to see, that what Democrats oppose is not what they say.
Yes.
They say that they oppose emissions. They say that they're for electric vehicles. They say that they want to oppose capitalism and all these things. And it's like, no, actually what they oppose is Trump. Lockstep, anything that they can do, they're going to oppose Trump, even if it means it's going to be detrimental to their ideology and what they have pushed policy-wise for decades.
It's a fascinating thing that we're watching right now, and we're going to go to break. We're going to come back and continue the discussion. Kane, who is the founder of Task Force Freedom Northern Colorado, is in studio. Alan Thomas, who's a great author here at the Kim Munson Show, becoming a regular guest host as well, which I really do appreciate that as well. And all these discussions happen because of our sponsors. And for everything mortgages, reach out to Lauren Levy.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
When a home intruder strikes, you don't know how you'll react until it's real. That's why you need the best training in Denver. Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB deliver. They've got the most realistic setups around. A massive 2,500 square feet climate-controlled indoor shoot house where you'll face real-world scenarios. Their friendly and qualified instructors will help you find your weak spots, sharpen your skills, and train like the pros. This unique and hard-to-find training is being made available to you. Beginners are welcome, and it's opening soon. Membership is very affordable but limited, and you can receive a special $50 discount on a charter membership just by telling them you heard about it on KLZ. Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB has the friendly staff, the inventory you want, and the lowest tax rate around. Best of all, it's fun. Find out more about Franktown on the KLZradio.com advertisers page. You've made friends at Franktown Firearms. Now see what their new partnership has to offer you. Colorado CQB, come play with us.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. If you're a golfer and you would like to play the Ridge Golf Course, you've got a great opportunity. You can do that by supporting the USMC Memorial Foundation in their second annual Memorial Golf Tournament. And it is in mid-May. You can get more information about that by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. Should be a really fun time. And be sure and check that out. Alan Thomas, we're talking about your piece, The Wonderful Political Malfeasance of the Left. I know Kane is just chomping at the bit to comment as well. But this is really, it's crazy to watch what is happening with Teslas and Tesla's dealerships. Just a point, you'd mentioned Second Amendment in one of the previous segments, and I've seen headlines that there are Tesla dealerships that are even being shot at with firearms. I'm thinking, how did these people get firearms? Because I thought they didn't want people to have firearms, right?
Absolutely. And you know, the second example is actually pretty hilarious, unfortunately, as well. You know, Trump had brought up deporting, you know, illegal citizens all throughout the campaign. He made a huge push about this. And of course, the left, kicking and screaming, opposed him. But yet again, Trump just absolutely outflanked them. Because as soon as he got in office, what was the number one thing he started doing? He didn't start just mass deportations of everybody that ICE could find that's here illegally. He found the gang members, the violent criminals, the violent illegal aliens that are here in our country. Now, again, to a logical thinker, that makes the most sense, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it, regardless of your political belief about how people can get into the country, it's pretty common sense that, hey, if you get here illegally and then you want to start shooting, hitting, harassing, beating our citizens, if you want to start going into these impoverished neighborhoods as gang members and through force and intimidation, participate in the illicit drug trade, that's pretty top of my list of people that I want to say, yeah, let's boot them out. Like, you know, if you're going to put me and my family in danger, you don't deserve to be here in the country. And in fact, you know, even gang members that aren't here illegally, I have a pretty high regard of, hey, maybe we should lock those people up. So Trump goes after these violent criminals. And what does the Democratic leadership do? They somehow want to stop these deportations. They want them to turn the plane back full of these gang members and criminals, and yet again, just show them as absolute charlatans. You know, they say they want safety. They say they fight for the impoverished neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They say they fight for the little guy. But then when you can actually help these communities by getting rid of violent people, they're like, no, just because we oppose Trump and everything he talks about, make sure those people can't leave the country.
Well, and the other thing on that down here at the State House is, while Democrats are standing up for criminals, and criminals that are here illegally, they're working to, and there's 22 different bills with the word firearms in them, to take away the right of everyday citizens to be able to protect themselves against these bad actors. So they want to bring the bad actors back, and they want to say, no, you can't protect yourself. Kane, I know you might have something to say.
Oh, my gosh. So, Alan, charlatans, I love that word. They're liars. They're pathetic frauds, and they have been since the 50s. I was saying on the break that Malcolm X despised these people in the 60s, 50s. He despised them. This is what the Democrats have done. As you said, these criminals that are here harming. How many rapes are enough? Is one rape okay from these people? I think that's too much. That's one too many. But what they did and what they do is they send out, and it started with the House Negroes. Excuse my French, but they send out their House Negroes to push people to violence. And I'm going to say some names. Raphael Warnock, Anna Presley, Ehan Omar, Cory Booker, Hakeem Jeffries, Al Wolfman Green, Benny Johnson, James Clyburn, and of course Maxine
Waters. Okay.
James Brown Wiggs Waters. What do? They send them out. Do you know that 200 Negroes, 200 black people die every single week at the hands of other black people? These morons never said one word. It's been going on for decades, and these House Negroes have never stood up and says, we need to stop the violence. A lot of these people that are killed are children.
I know.
Innocent bystanders, innocent men and women. They are dead, and not one black cocky has ever stood up and says, we need to do this. However, these criminals that are raping us, killing us, causing property damage, they step up and go, we need to hit the streets and make sure that these people can continue to rape your women. Listen, they're Marxy comms. They hate you, Alan, because you're white. They hate Kim because she's a woman. They use people like me, a proud American Negro, as a weapon to destroy this country.
And you're not going to let that happen anymore. So let's toss this over to Alan.
Well, and it's this identity politics, right? It's something that's deeply ingrained in their ideology to split us into groups, as opposed to, and this is really part of the malfeasance that they've been drawn into, is we're seeing now that they cannot stand on principle. We see that while they say that they want to be here to defend the environment, actually, as soon as they can protest Trump or Elon Musk by association, they're going to get rid of their electric vehicles. They're going to buy these gas-guzzling cars. As soon as they have the opportunity to say that they want to stand up for impoverished neighborhoods and actually stand up for their own constituents in their own communities and say, hey, yeah, you know what? violent gangs, bad idea. Let's get the bad actors out of the community. Instead, what they're going to say is, hey, you need to turn a flight around and bring them back. And then, you know, it's also funny because it's we're showing that the things that they care about most are money and power. And Elon Musk exposed this brilliantly through his investigations into USAID. And this was, again, another just brilliant way of Trump outflanking them and knowing that they would respond to the first battle, not necessarily to the best one, right? Mm-hmm. They could have easily said, you know what, violent gang members, we want to save that deportation battle for another day, for maybe a sob story mm-hmm. when we get the mother or the child that Trump is sending back. I mean, not one U.S. citizen is sobbing over a violent gang member, a gangbanger going back to Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Not one of us is. And it's funny because when you're in a tough economy, the number one place that Americans say we need to cut first is foreign aid. It makes sense. Again, you know, it's like when our economy is tough, what's the number one thing we want our taxpayer dollars going towards? Not other governments, not towards transgender operas in Colombia, not towards DEI in Serbia. And Elon Musk came in and said, here's what's happening in USAID. And the Democratic leadership just has absolutely gone to war to defend all of this money being spent fraudulently and wastefully in the USAID. And so it's nice that we can sit back, allow the left to just get outflanked by Trump and show and illustrate how terrible this Democratic leadership truly is.
And they're supporting an agenda that will take my money and tell me to my face, I'm going to use it to destroy you.
And that's one of the things that's... Gentlemen, we are out of time in hour number one. We're going to come back in hour number two. Our quote for the end of the show is from Thucydides. And he said this, the secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district. What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, my friends. We were made for this moment in history, and we were placed in Colorado, which is at the tip of the spear, because this is where the battle is. And lots of exciting things that are going on, and we're going to talk about some of that. Let's get right into it, though. First of all, Hooters Restaurants had lunch over there with Kurt Gerwitz yesterday. Great fish and chips. They have great specials Monday through Friday for lunch and for happy hour. A great place to get together to watch the games. And I know, Alan Thomas, that you are a basketball fan. How's your bracket?
Well, I have Duke going all the way, so it's still looking pretty good. But that was a good game last night. And then, of course, I was up way too late before you have to get up for a 6 o'clock radio show watching Texas Tech come back 16 down to win it in overtime.
Really?
So that was a good late game for us last night. But another fun – you know, it's so fun watching these I mean, you truly have to remember that they're 18, 19, 20 years old competing at a stage like this, and the joy of victory, the heartache of defeat, and just the stories that you hear about these young kids and what they've gone through to get to where they are. It's a fun tournament. It's the best sporting event, in my opinion.
Duke is a pretty easy pick, though, right?
I mean, they've been my favorite for a long time. Since I was little. Yeah. You know, Coach K and J.J. Redick and all of those good ones. So I've always been a Duke basketball fan. And Cooper Flagg actually should still be in high school. He reclassified in order to play up this year. He's the best player in the country. And they are a pretty easy pick for winning the whole thing. And they looked good last night.
Okay. Well, and I realize you should not pick your bracket on emotion. Because I had KU and Houston in the finals. And I know that KU had a terrible record, but I thought maybe they'll rally. And so don't do it, right?
I don't really follow a lot of sports, but I do want to say something about Hooters. Renee and I went to Hooters back maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, in Northern Colorado.
Yeah, in Loveland, I believe. They have a fish taco that is out of this world, and it's massive. Mm-hmm. And so I got the fish taco. You get three with the order, and then I also got the fish and chips. I've been looking for a good fish and chip place since we got here 7 years ago. It is 100% delicious. The service is amazing. Charlie, who was the young lady who helped us, their service is absolutely. I'm a former restaurateur. I've owned a couple of restaurants. Their service is outstanding. Initially, Hooters, you might feel like, well, that's not a family restaurant. It is. Take your wife, take your kids, and go have some great food.
Well, and the story, I think both of you know it, how I got to know them was when I was on city council. And what had happened is one of the things that we were supposed to do was to approve liquor licenses. And I think that's a whole nother question. And I can't even tell you, having these restaurateurs that come in and ask for their liquor license and to see them being dressed down by city council people and the mayor saying that we're going to come in and we're going to do sting operations and see if you serve somebody under the age of 18. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I never really liked all that. But anyway, So Hooters Restaurants is going to they were taking over a property that had been a TGI Fridays that had gone out of business, so there had been a liquor license there. It was a no-brainer. It was zoned for a restaurant. No-brainer. And it was primarily women on the left. Now, I have a friend who's become a friend and a very faithful Catholic, and she was concerned about the uniforms. But take a look at any of the professional cheerleaders or your high school volleyball team.
They're, in fact, Renee and I were talking about that when we were eating. I go, there's no difference in that uniform than what girls wear on the volleyball court.
Yeah.
Zero difference.
I know.
And again, their service is just immaculate.
But I think, Kane, as I looked back at this, I really felt that this, now as I look back, it was early on assaulting women. Being women,
yes,
I think that was it. So anyway.
All of this has been going on for decades and decades. I think I may have told you in a previous episode that I looked through a yearbook from junior high school, and in the yearbook, it had a black African-American club or something like that. There was no other clubs, and there was only black people in here. This was when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
This has been happening
to us. It's been dividing.
Forever, and it's high time we stop taking it. And just our strongest weapon, Alan, is our voices. You speak loud and often.
Well,
tell the truth.
So going back to the story, and I've told it a few times on the air, but I'm sitting there, and again, it was standing room only. The mayor apparently had already kind of said this makes sense, so they'd started construction, you know, in private enterprise. Time is money. But all of a sudden, the mayor, who had an R behind his name, but did all kinds of radical left stuff, because you had to be an R at that time in Douglas County to get elected. It's standing room only, and it's primarily women on the left that say, we don't want this here. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, If you don't want it here, you just don't go there.
Don't go.
You don't go there, right? And they can compete in the market. If people don't go there, they'll go out of business. If people do go there, they'll stay in business. And if you don't want to go there, you don't have to. But they wanted to use government to say, you can't come in here.
That's been the agenda of the left, is I don't like it, and so that means you're not going to like it. And so we're going to control everything, and which is taking away from our freedoms and our liberties. So, at every level, on every platform, everything they do, they attack us and our liberties.
So,
yes,
I make the motion to approve the liquor license. I look to the mayor and my other colleagues to second the motion. Again, standing room only. All these people have come in and accused them of all kinds of stuff. They have accused them of the stuff that these gang leaders or gang members have been doing that we're deporting. But anyway, and there was no second. And I said, I would like to address what's going on here. And the mayor would not let me speak and said, okay, at council comments. So I waited till council comments and I started. I said, this is about freedom. And he shut me down and would not let me speak. So at that point in time, the meeting adjourns and the city councilwoman to the next to me said, Kim, I want to talk with you about this. I said, we'll talk, but not right now. I was so mad about it. I said, this is about freedom. And she says to me, oh, you think you're the queen of freedom. So at that point, the police chief comes up and says, would you like me to walk you to your car? And I said, absolutely not. I can walk to my car just by myself. I was so frustrated. We went home. We issued a press release. And social media blew up because this was a foundational question. And people on the right and people on the left and libertarians, everybody said, what is the proper role of government? Is this the proper role of government that we can decide that legitimate businesses cannot be in business? And fast forward this, Kane, this was before COVID, this was 2015. A neighbor of mine called and she said, Kim, as a Christian, how can you be standing up for Hooters? And I said, let's have coffee. And I explained to her, I said, when government starts to say which businesses are okay and which aren't, we're going down a very dangerous road. What if government says they don't like the doctrine of this church over here? And they won't let you have that church.
Right.
And then you fast forward it to COVID, and you've got government saying that there are some people that are essential and there are some not.
That's right.
And that's why it was such an important stand.
Yes. It's freedom.
It's freedom. So, yes. Alan. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the more beautiful lines in the very first Federalist paper actually addresses this. And it's a lesson that can be applied to politics, to religion. When they say heresy is rarely... Not even rarely, heresy is not cured through persecution. And you have to sit back and you have to say, okay, if I oppose Hooters, is the best way to oppose them through persecution? Or is it through getting to know people, influencing them and changing their hearts and their minds? And that's the point that the first Federalist paper makes is, hey, you don't want to use the fire and the sword to change people's mind because you're not actually changing their mind. You're intimidating them. You're using the threat of power and force to force their actions. You're not actually changing how they feel, how they think about things. In fact, a lot of times you reinforce their belief because they sit back and they say, if you have to use threat and intimidation and power to change my mind, I must be thinking the right thing.
Well, and you can see that through Tesla and all that. So just to button up the story and then we'll do our word of the day and all that when we come back. But the city attorney pulled us in a few days later and said, you guys don't have a leg to stand on.
Right.
And that from the Supreme Court, there is a decision that you can't do this. And so 2 weeks later, another city council meeting, standing room only, and we know that we must approve this liquor license. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the whole presentation, everything happens, and the mayor calls for a motion to approve. And they all look to me to make the motion. But I know that they have to.
That's
so
right.
I just went, do, 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 do.
I love that.
And so somebody else had to make the motion. They looked for a second. They all looked to me. I went, do, 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 do. And so they seconded it. So it was
beautiful.
Approved unanimously.
Yes.
So then fast forward a few months later, and the head of the Colorado Restaurant Association called, and she said, Kim, Brian and Tom would like you to be the guest of honor and cut the ribbon for the new Hooters restaurant.
Wow.
And I said, well, okay. And so I have this picture of me with the beautiful Hooters girls cutting the ribbon with the owners. And I actually presented the story when I received the Leadership Program of the Rockies 2016 Leader in Action Award. And I said, I'd like at the end of this to put that up on the screen. I said, this is what freedom looks like. And Tommy Lahren actually talked about it on our national show. So anyway, I get off of city council. I wait. We now are friends regarding.
And if people have, if you have an issue or concern with the uniforms, pretend that they're cheerleaders. How about that? Because I've seen some cheerleading uniforms that make Hooters look like choir girls.
Okay.
You know? And so, but here's the thing: the left. Conservatives fight for freedom and liberty for everyone.
Yes.
Mostly for the left, because they're not capable or even understand really what's happening to them and our country. So when we fight, even though we have disagreements with them, we have our team. We are all on, you know, 51% of the country is all for freedoms and liberty and the Constitution. And if we don't defend it for them,
right?
If we don't defend it for them, we won't have a country. We won't have a Constitution.
Well,
we won't have.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, let's continue the discussion. And Lavaca Meat Company is a sponsor of the show, and they're truly a premium product, that steakhouse experience at home. They're located on the corner of Nevada and Maine, so be sure and check them out.
It seems like we are getting squeezed everywhere. Inflation, high taxes, at the gas pump. Where can you save money? Well, when you bundle your insurance coverage with the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, you may save money on your insurance premiums. The Roger Mangan Team will help you with a personalized plan to cover all your insurance needs for your home, auto, boat, and renter's coverage. For a complimentary appointment, call the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855. That number again is 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Team is there.
The current level of interest rates is causing challenges and creating opportunities. For nearly 20 years, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, Lauren Levy, has helped individuals realize their hopes and dreams of home ownership, fund kids' educations through second mortgages, and access capital by utilizing reverse mortgages. Lauren's not constrained to work with just one lender. Because he works with many different lenders, Lauren offers you choices for your individual mortgage needs. Knowledge is power, and preparation leads to success. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881 so that you are prepared for the opportunities in the mortgage market. That's Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday!
It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You shouldn't have to force people to do it. Alan Thomas, our word of the day goes to your essay, malfeasance. It could be the misconduct. Oh, I have to spell it for Eric. M-A-L-F-E-A-S-A-N-C-E. It could be misconduct or wrongdoing, especially by a public official. Should we just put some names next to that as a definition?
We've seen a lot of malfeasance from some political leaders on the left,
yes,
shall we say.
Yes, we have.
And from a lot of, DOGE has exposed a lot of malfeasance as well. You know, you see a lot of these bureaucrats using their positions of power to use the taxpayer's dime as a credit card. And it's absolute malfeasance.
Okay, so the next thing I want to ask you is the doing of an act which a person ought not to do, evil conduct, an illegal deed. I think it's downright malfeasance. NPR, did you see the head of NPR in the hearings? Was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sent this. Now, I've not sourced this, but they said that she's either on the board or CEO of the Signal. Which just happened to have that Signal chat. I need to source that to make sure. So don't quote me on that out there yet. I try not to do that. But anyway, I found that was super interesting. And speaking of taxpayer dime, you know what? I buy my airtime. I pay for it. I tell you what, a few million dollars would go a long way for the Kim Munson Show if you took it from everybody and then gave it to me so that I could be on the air. That's what's happening with NPR, Alan Thomas.
Well, and I thought the one question of, hey, your whole editorial board is 87 Democrats and no Republicans. And, you know, of course, this is what they do is when they're in power, there's no hearings about, there's no question. And when they're not, it's deflect, 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 right? Oh, well, we don't ask what political affiliation they are. And it's like, okay, well, if you're a news network and you have this absolute echo chamber of an editorial board, maybe something's wrong. It doesn't take looking at the personal registration of all 87 to realize, hey, nobody is advocating a single Republican idea. You know, nobody wants to pitch a Republican story for NPR at all. It's like, okay, you may not have asked their political affiliation, but you knew exactly what you were doing.
They're
knew
frauds.
That you were.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah, you
I'm
knew
trying to
that.
Be disciplined, Alan. They are frauds and they're criminals. Why are they taking our money? And again, it goes back to what the strategy is from the Marxicons. I'm going to take your money. We're going to use it to destroy you at every single level. And it's high time that we wake up as conservatives, no, as Americans, and understand. If they're doing this to Democrats, guess what they're doing that to the left?
So with Doge, I think everyday people are going, wait a minute. And, of course, when you start to get comedians involved in politics, you know that's when you're winning. So apparently there was a meme out there that said, why are we giving other countries money to hate us? They should be able to hate us for free. NPR, why should we be giving them money? And this is another thing that NPR used to have this reputation of academics, that I listen to NPR, so I am very smart. But quite frankly, it was what we've seen in indoctrination, and they're using taxpayer money to do it. Cut the money off. Speaking of the Colorado budget, just recently, maybe, I don't know if we said it on the air or in between, but one of the things that Trump needs to do, Doge and all, is cut the money off. So we're going to see doubling down at the school board, the local, the county, the state, and the national level. And how do we stop it? We cut the grant money off. And I know we're going to talk about that, right?
Hang on to your hat, because these folks at these school boards, these school districts, are not going to get the money. And the very next thing they're going to do, because they think we're dumb, they're going to raise our taxes. Those mill levy tax deals that they run.
Mill levy override.
Overrides. They're 100%, which is why they're not worried. We went to Thompson School Board the other day over some silliness with my good friend Nancy Rumfeld. They are not worried because they know they think we're dumb. They think the citizens will just continue to pay so they can push their CRT, the DEI, the transgender stuff, the grooming that they're doing of kids.
So let's talk.
Wait, let me say this. Say no. Am I yelling? Say
Renee,
no.
He's yelling.
Say no.
So with that, we had Nancy Rumfeldt on the show earlier this week, a Thompson school board member who wore a T-shirt that said Real Women Rock. Her other school board members in Thompson School District wanted to have a conversation about her regarding her ethics in wearing such a shirt. We had her on the morning of this school board meeting. You were there?
I actually came home from work, shot over there. I signed up to speak. I was the 100, over 100 people that were in front of me. So I stayed for a little bit, and I went home and watched it on television.
Okay.
So it's insane. What they're saying about her is 100% lies. She is concerned about every single child in that school district, regardless of their race, creed, color, gender preference. She's concerned about them. She's just simply saying, I have a First Amendment right to say real women rock. Just as the transgenders have a First Amendment right to be a man and walk around wearing a dress and lipstick.
Okay, they could do that. But they can't come in. My understanding is in Thompson School District that there are boys with all the parts that can be in the girls' locker rooms. Is that true?
That is 100% true. And they can play the same team. And so the issue was a First Amendment right for Nancy, but also these girls are getting hurt. Now, what was surprising is the numbers of teachers in the school districts that support males playing on girls' teams. That some of them had arguments like, well, that's not true. These women are just as strong as men. And so my challenge to the one lady who worked in the school district, I want to get in the ring with you and show you how this works. I used to be a police officer. We had very slight women.
I'm thinking maybe a guy might not want to get in the ring with you, Kane.
Well, but I'll put on a dress.
No, you know, put on a dress. It's Trump's address to Congress, it was funny. I was hosting the show right after that. Mm-hmm. And in one of the takeaways, one of the more fascinating takeaways was all of the transgender issues, the voting public is backing Trump on. I mean, a majority of Maine voters are backing Trump's proposal about Title IX and actually opposing their own Democrat governor who's opposing Trump over this transgender issue. And the thing that was most interesting about that, they had those placards, right? Did you see those where they hold up false? And it was so funny because for most everything that he said, they held up their little false placards. But when he said, when he addressed it directly and said, men are men, women are women, you can't change, it was fascinating because it panned out. And not everyone held up their little false placards. It was very fascinating that most of the Democrats didn't hold up that false placard because they know it's now a losing issue for the voters.
So they didn't want to be photographed.
They didn't want to be seen with their voters saying, hey, we believe in this transgender issue. And so while we may have a lot of very vocal voices at school board meetings advocating for this lunacy, it's very interesting because most voters agree this issue is ridiculous. It's been fabricated by the left. Everybody knows the truth. I mean, there's truth. It's written on all of our hearts. And we know that men are men, women are women, and that it is something mental if you think that you have to be the other. And so it's a losing issue for the left, but it is important to know that it's a losing issue.
Right.
And that while you have a lot of loud voices yelling at school board meetings, that's not the majority of people. And the majority of people know what the truth is. It's just we need that strength and courage to stand up and call it out and say, hey, you're not representing a majority of people.
Okay. So we have to understand where this started. It was the left that hijacked the gay and lesbian community, just like they hijacked the Negro community. They needed the new victim. All victims get holidays. We got
Black
History Month, February.
Wait, why is it Black History Month and not African American?
Because we're not African American. We're Negroes. We shouldn't have a month.
Yeah, okay.
We shouldn't have a month. We shouldn't have a day. Who else has a month? The gays and lesbians, or the LGBTQ group. And so what happened is they needed to have the victims. What did they do with the Negro population? We became the most violent people on the planet. Violent. From the 60s on, they removed the dads. We become violent. We kill each other. We kill everybody. What is the LGBT group doing today? They are some of the most violent people on the planet. The last three mass shootings have been LGBTQ person going in and shooting up kids. A lot of them are on these protests. A lot of them are doing the damage to the Teslas. The lady that attacked one of our marchers, I'm sure she
Well, let's talk about that when we come back. Yeah. I've got Alan Thomas in studio, and his piece, The Wonderful Political Malfeasance of the Left, will roll out this weekend in the newsletter, so be sure and be signed up for that. And so Alan Thomas is in studio, a great guest host on a regular basis now on the show. Thank you. And thank you to Key Lind as well, because it takes everybody to make all this happen. And Kane, who is the founder of Task Force Freedom Northern Colorado, we have these important discussions because of our sponsors. And for everything residential real estate, reach out to Karen Levine and have her on your side of the table.
Property is surely a right of mankind, as real as liberty, wrote Founding Father John Adams. RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine has been working diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect property rights and home ownership. Karen has navigated the often challenging Colorado metro real estate market for years. Karen Levine is the trusted professional for you to turn to when you are buying or selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment opportunities. Realtor Karen Levine, you want her on your side of the table. Call Karen at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Do you crave a mouthwatering steak or juicy hamburger? It's time to head over to Lavaca Meat Company and fire up the barbecue. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. Lavaca Meat Company is located in the historic Coors Building at the corner of Main and Nevada in downtown Littleton. Lavaca cuts of meat are aged 21 days, which provides one of the best steaks you have ever tasted. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit Lavaca in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. A couple of things I wanted to mention. First of all, Drew Dix, our Medal of Honor quote book from the Center for American Values. I'd recommend that you have that at home in your Freedom Library, and you can get that by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. And of course, the center is located in Pueblo on the beautiful Riverwalk. But Drew Dix said this again, 56-hour battle, Vietnam War, and he says this: nothing is ever as bad as you think it might be. We've got big challenges here in America, and in studio is Alan Thomas, an author here at the Kim Munson Show, guest host, and his essay will roll out as The Wonderful Political Malfeasance of the Left. And Kane, who is the founder of Task Force Freedom Northern Colorado. I was having a conversation just recently, and I said that there is nature's law, and in the Declaration, Alan, the founders refer to God four different times, but in different ways. The divine provider, nature's God. And nature's God, and we talk about nature's law on a regular basis. Nature's law, male, female. And this friend of mine said, but Kim, there are people, that men that are born with vaginas. I don't know if I can say that on the air, but I just did. And vice versa. I said, that's an outlier. I said, throughout the animal and plant world, it's male and female. Alan, what would you say to that?
Well, and it's interesting because it's when they say nature's God, it's actually hearkening back to Socrates. It's a throwback to the ancient Greeks and how they were able to use logic and thought to arrive at some of these ideas. And that's the beauty of our founding document, is you don't even have to be a Christian to understand the logic of how you arrive at a nature's God. And part of the difficulty that we have is male, female, man, woman. These are such basic principles to our language that they're difficult to even define. Like when you sit there and you tell somebody, well, what is a woman? It's so difficult to define because it's such a basic principle that's been ingrained in us because it's something that we just know. And to have the very root of our language even attacked this way, it's difficult because it's like, okay, yes, well, if I say a deer, if I say there was a deer in the road, you don't have to ask whether it had two heads or not, you know, but there are deer, you know, especially around Chernobyl that grew two heads. It's like, okay, there may be outliers. They may be faint exemptions to the rule, but for the most part, this rule holds true 99.99% of the time. And there is a male, there is a female. And it's funny, you know, at the break, producer Joe talked about the scientific method. It's like, this is something that's written in our very DNA. I mean, this is something that's so unavoidable that when you do a DNA test of an individual, you can tell whether they're male or female. You know, with both of my kids, we wanted to do the testing to know whether we were going to have boys or girls. You know, it's something that you can test for at even before you've been born and breathed your first breath of air. We know whether you're male or female. So it's such an interesting discussion because it's like we don't have to defend our position. You know, truth does not have to be coerced. And that's the difficulty of what we're facing is it's like we're being coerced into thinking that male and female is something that's even debatable. It's not.
Well, it has become a big debate. And Kane, what would you say to people that say regarding site outliers, even under the Second Amendment, people cite outliers. And so what do you say to that?
It's insane to me that we're having this conversation trying to determine male and female. The issue is, you cannot make me call you, sir, a woman. I'm sorry, I'm never going to do it. And so they're trying to, the reason why all this stuff is taking place in our schools is they're changing the culture. I did a speech down in Parker last year, and I asked the group, I says, hey, at some point, it's going to be accepted that there are women that have penises. Okay? And then there are women that don't, that have the female part. They're changing the culture. So I say to one guy in the audience, what kind of wife, what kind of woman do you have? Does she have the penis or a vagina? Can I say that word? They are changing the culture. They're making it acceptable that we're going to accept this whole third, or not even the third. We're going to accept the fact that a woman is no longer a woman.
So, Kane, using these words on the radio, just drilling right down to it, I'm thinking, at least where I grew up, we wouldn't say those words in mixed company, if you will. But our children are being taught this, and that's why we have to understand it. Because our kids are being taught this every day. And the other thing is the focus on those words, it makes individuals focus on the carnal stuff instead of the big idea stuff as well.
The big idea stuff is they're controlling us. This is damaging children every single day. This is grooming children. There's no way that a second grader should know about transgender anything. That shouldn't even be in the lexicon at all.
Right.
Maybe not even until high school. But these kids are changing our culture. I said it during the break. If you look at the black culture, they changed the black culture. From prior to the 60s, we were not violent. The crime rates were basically the same as everyone else. They changed the culture.
But what LBJ did, he said to, at the time, black women, but then it went to all women, hey, government will take care of you and your children as long as you do not have a man in the house. And I've got an anecdotal for you on that, and that is a woman that I know had been a social worker back in, let's say, the 70s and was doing a house check. First of all, do you really want the government coming in and doing a house check? But if you're taking government money, yeah, you have
absolutely.
So anyway, the social worker who lean to the left, pretty self-righteous about it, gets into the house, and she's doing her look around the house, and she sees a man's feet underneath the bed. Well, it's the dad. And she told him to get out of there. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
It was done on purpose. Mm-hmm. It was done on purpose. If you remove the lion, the jackals will play. And so they've removed the lion from the black culture, and look at what has happened to us. They removed the lion from the families because men should be, the majority of people at that meeting on Thursday were women. There were a few men that spoke, but most of them were women.
Well, because the other ones went home and watched it on TV.
Some of them did.
Bada boom.
You got me. Some of them. No, the men should be stepping up and going, Miss Jones, you ever talk to my son about transgender anything, I'm going to have a problem with you. Not the school board. Not the school district. I'm going to have a personal problem with you, sir, or you, ma'am, for grooming my kid. I told a story to another school district. My cousin, her name is Kim. Kim was being groomed when she was like 9 years old. I would think I was 11, 12. And she used to talk about, hey.
That long ago?
So-and-so was showing me these books. And I'm like, what? And it was like Playboy and Hustler. And she was telling adults, this is happening to me. She got groomed, and then she was molested. Multiple.
By that person?
By that person.
Oh.
So my cousin Kim became, she, when you expose children to that kind of material, they become hypersexual at a very young age. This is not coming from just a regular guy. I've heard professionals talk about these things. They become hypersexual at a very young age. Kim became a prostitute.
Oh.
Yes. Kim died 10 years ago. Aww. She's 55 years old. She was a prostitute the entire time. Okay, so when you look, I think one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about these books and what they're doing with the grooming thing, these kids can't handle it. They're going to be making really, really bad choices, and they're going to be okay with it because the schools are grooming them.
My father, who passed on a little over a year ago, had always said to me, he said, be careful about what you watch, be careful about what you read, be careful about what you listen to, because particularly when what you see, when those images are put into your mind,
it's imprinting.
Yes. So we have, that's why the work you're doing at Task Force Freedom Northern Colorado is so important. We're going to go to break. We have these important discussions because of our sponsors. If you've been injured, reach out to John Bozen with Bozen Law.
You don't have to suffer the consequences of someone else's negligence on your own. The attorneys at Bozen Law have extensive experience handling all types of personal injury and wrongful death claims involving motor vehicle accidents, medical malpractice, defective products, catastrophic injuries, and more. Bozen Law also assists clients with matters related to workers' compensation and Social Security Disability, SSD. Bozen Law takes pride in truly getting to know their clients and genuinely cares about helping you seek the justice you deserve. Call Bozen Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary consultation. That number is 303-999-9999. Call Bozen Law now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
When a home intruder strikes, you don't know how you'll react.
until it's real. That's why you need the best training in Denver. Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB deliver. They've got the most realistic setups around. A massive 2,500 square feet climate-controlled indoor shoot house where you'll face real-world scenarios. Their friendly and qualified instructors will help you find your weak spots, sharpen your skills, and train like the pros. This unique and hard-to-find training is being made available to you. Beginners are welcome, and it's opening soon. Membership is very affordable but limited, and you can receive a special $50 discount on a charter membership just by telling them you heard about it on KLZ. Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB has the friendly staff, the inventory you want, and the lowest tax rate around. Best of all, it's fun. Find out more about Franktown on the KLZradio.com advertisers page. You've made friends at Franktown Firearms. Now see what their new partnership has to offer you. Colorado CQB, come play with us.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Thank you to Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of the show. It's reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy from oil, natural gas, and coal that powers our lives, fuels our hopes and dreams, and empowers us to change our own personal climate. And for a great golfing event in mid-May, check out the USMC Memorial Foundation for their second annual golf tournament out at the Ridge Golf Course. There's limited number of golfers there, so make your reservation early. You can do that by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. Kane, it's great to have you in studio. You care deeply about our children. Right now, there's a big battle going on in Elizabeth, Elbert County, that the ACLU is demanding that these pornographic books be put back into the schools. And they know what they're doing.
Yes.
They know what they're doing is if they can get these kids to look at this stuff, they know that they are imprinting that for a lifetime. Alan Thomas, you're a dad, and you're active in this. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, especially when it comes to books, there's a big difference between curating a book collection for kids, highly influenceable kids, and something being available on the open marketplace. And, you know, it's funny, you see all these school board meetings, these parents coming out and reading a book. And I guess my thoughts on this is, if there's a book that's even questionable, if the board member is unable to read the book from the stand, then it should not be in the school. I mean, we've known this for centuries. Again, this kind of comes back to the foundational issue that we're trying to fight in this ideological battle. Is there absolute truth, and can it be known? Or are we going to accept the progressive premise of truth is relative? And that's the difficulty in having these types of conversations, is you're coming at it and you're having these arguments with people that think truth is relative. There's my truth. There's your truth. There's their truth. There's Zer truth, right? And it's a difficult battle to fight because you're both coming at this from a completely different premise. And the premise is, I'm saying that truth is absolute. Mm-hmm. It is knowable, that you cannot change the fabric of reality by saying words. And they're coming at it from a completely opposite premise. And that's why when we go to how do you have these sorts of discussions, it's like you almost have to say, you know what, we can't even have a discussion about what is male or female until we have a discussion on truth, on is truth knowable and can we discover it? Because until you have that premise discussion, you're both going to be just fighting in absolute circles.
Well, and it brings that, and I'm checking the text line here. First of all, Susan says, I love the yelling. People should be yelling. Okay. But we're in Lent right now. And I heard a sermon one time regarding Pilate, and he's having this interaction with Christ. And there's the words, he says, what is truth, right? And the pastor said, you could have that question with different inflection. So was Pilate being maybe more of a relativism and says, what is truth? Or was he asking the question, what is truth? And I thought, that is so interesting to have that different inflection on that, Alan.
It is. And you can get different points from different points of view, because then Jesus throughout his ministry said, I am the truth. You know, and it's this, it's so fascinating. As I've been kind of looking into Socrates, this was something that even Socrates was able to, as a non-participant in Judaism or Christianity, was able to logically arrive at the fact that there is a nature's God, that there is a God over nature, that there is this prime mover, that this is unassailable. And yet, if you were to have that discussion with anybody and say that you can logically arrive to the fact that there had to be an initial mover to the universe, that that something had to put the universe into motion, because all of our thermodynamic laws all say everything goes to entropy, that nothing goes towards order. Everything goes more towards chaos and breaking things down than building them up. And you can logically sit here and say, there had to be an original prime mover. You know, even if you don't believe in my Bible, we can come to that eventual endpoint, and we can say, hey, if we could come to that endpoint, then we need to have an endpoint with truth too.
Right. And our God is a God of order.
Yes.
So, okay,
yes.
Cain, and then we got Gammy on the line, too.
Just to backtrack really, really quick. Elizabeth is going to lose. They're going to have to put those books back into the schools. There was case law from 1985, Tattered Cover versus Thule, where the Supreme Court here said they have a First Amendment right to have those books in the school. It didn't say you had to give them to the kids. It said it had to be in the schools. Elizabeth has a protection where a parent has to approve any pornographic book that, or any adult content book for their child. So that's something they can sign up for in the very beginning. And if a child checks out a book that's questionable, they have to notify the parent before they issue that book to that child. So the books have the right to be in these schools. Insane, but they have the right. It's a First Amendment right. The other thing is that it's a violation of federal law. So I say, I know what the truth is. I say, you belong in prison if you're giving kids pornography. Federal law, section Title 18, United States Code, section 1466A, look it up. You can do 20 years in prison for giving a child a illustration of a man naked with a child naked. There are, it's one of the pictures in a book called Gender Queer. They're all throughout,
I know,
Colorado.
You've sent that over, and I can't get that image out of my mind.
It's insane. And so these are criminal, this criminal behavior by our school district, which is why I say, take your children out of the government schools. They are not safe. If you cannot, you have to stand up and protect your kids. You have to scream. You have to yell. You have to say, excuse me, sir, if you give my daughter that book, I'm going to have a personal problem with you.
Okay, let's get over here. Gammy, let's make it a minute, okay?
Well, I'm just calling in to say a few things. I wrote on the 003 gun bill again this morning. That was my fifth submission. And I hope that you all will read it, because I pretty much told them to go home and get on their knees for the crimes they've committed. But there's a whole lot in there. But that's not why I called. I called because Cain's on there. And Cain, I'm going to differ with you on one little point. I don't care whether you got a kid in that school or not, whether you pulled yours out or not. Your children will have to deal with the majority of children in that school, which is why every single parent needs to look at the real laws and violations of rights. You can put all the smut in the public library, but in the school library, there should be a firewall of protection. And in a workplace, people would be sued, fired, and personally sued for one millionth of what they are doing to our children. But you need to know this is coming from way up high, because
excellent
billions
point.
Of dollars are involved, and they will not stop until you remove the funding for CEL, CRT, DEI, and show parents that we're not intolerant. We don't blame the trans children. We blame the sick criminals.
Okay. Thank you, Gammy. She's absolutely
100%.
She's on. So we've got about a minute. We've got 2 minutes left. Cain, I'm going to go to you first.
I just want to acknowledge our team. First of all, we're at TaskForceFreedomNoCo.com. You can go on and take a look at
all the pornographic books, all the stuff that we've been doing the last 4 years. I know it's insane, but but also we have amazing team members. Thank you, Mama and Papa. They know who I'm talking about. And I want to promote Devastated, which is a documentary that was put together by my good friend Stephen Tubbs about the fentanyl crisis here in Colorado. It's not political. It's just telling stories about what has happened here in Colorado. I will make it political. After you watch it, you have to ask yourself, why did our government allow this to happen? Why did they allow people to come in and, and harm
us? One more time, that website?
TaskForceFreedomNoCo.com.
Alan Thomas, you've got a minute. I always appreciate you being in studio.
Well, and it's always great being here, Kim. It's I got a funny anecdotal story, though.
Okay.
I went to a private Christian school some for middle school and part of high school. And it was funny because around then, Harry Potter came out. And the idea that parents had to give their kids permission to check kids to check books out wasn't even in question then. We had to get parental permission to check out Harry Potter from a Christian school because it had wizards and magic,
sure.
Right? But this, you know, parents have the right and the responsibility of educating their kids, and that's something we all need to remember and we all need to realize and put at the forefront when we have these discussions.
And can I say this real quick? It's called best practices. Every single school has to exercise it. If your child sees a movie that's greater than a G, they have to get permission from the parent.
Okay.
But they can give them porn.
Okay. And on that, our quote for the end of the show is from Thucydides. He said, "This the secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Okay.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.